بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Şibli rahmetullahi aleyh had passed away. And someone had inquired from him, how did it fare with you? So he replied that when the interrogation had commenced and it was asked of me that what have you got? So I began to wonder now, what answer should I give? Because if I think about my actions, then it is likely that there is some type of flaw in my action, in the required level of sincerity, in the required level of love, in the type of dedication that is required. There may be some flaw that will make my deed unacceptable. Then after a careful reflection, I thought, well, my iman, I can say it is safe. There is no flaw in my iman. There is no defect in the iman. So he presented his iman, that I have brought iman. So the answer came from that end, أَمَا تَذْكُرُوا لَيْلَةَ الْلَبْنِ. Do you remember the night of milk? What had happened was, he had had some type of stomach cramping in the morning, and he commented that my stomach is cramping because I had been drinking milk at night. So if you say that you have a very high level of iman, then that's a claim. My iman is very, very high, very strong, then that's a claim. And when a person makes a claim, then he needs to support the claim. He needs to bring some type of evidence to support the claim that he made. So when the iman is of a very high level, then your mind was only supposed to be going to Allah Ta'ala. It is Allah Ta'ala that is the doer. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. He brings about every situation. Every situation, then it is the doing of Allah Ta'ala. So, on the one end, you are claiming that your iman is worthy of acceptance. But then, if we look it in the mirror of your deeds and your behavior, your conduct, then it is not tying up. Because that requires that you attribute everything to Allah Ta'ala. Though this word and this statement will not amount to shirk and disbelief, but when you claim that you have got a very high level of iman, then how did this come about? So then he says to Allah Ta'ala, well, then I don't have anything to present. So Allah Ta'ala then tells him, well, then go, we have forgiven you. On one night, you had shown some type of kindness to some dog, and on account of the kindness that you shown to the dog, we have forgiven you. So where was all the good deeds, the righteousness, the ibadat? And he's ranking amongst the very high, very higher level of awliya-i-kiram. And then if he's forgiven for this. If he's blessed, then he's blessed on account of this act of kindness. So overall, a banda, a servant, is required to go on working, not losing hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. But at the same token, he can't become complacent and overconfident over himself. Then I've done this, so I've got my passport to Jannat. I'm winning and going to Jannat with flying colors. he needs to be going on working, but with a fear, with a level of fear as well, hoping in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and also a deep down fear that I do not know, perhaps some actions of mine is worthy of rejection. So when he has got this in a balance, then he will not be complacent. Then you won't find a person being proud. You won't find a person being overconfident of himself. I don't know, kaun si baat ke upar pakar ho jaye, that I may be apprehended, and I do not know for what I may be apprehended. So this is the state that Allah Ta'ala likes, where the banda and the servant is apprehensive, but he is also hopeful for the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. One person, Tabligh Jamaat, had been working on him in Tunis somewhere. So he complains to the Jamaat that my whole life had gone and I was drinking. And I didn't put my step into the masjid, and my whole life went in drinking. So what's the point in me now correcting myself? I'm already past my 70s, approaching my 80, on my way out. And when I'm on my way out, and then you ask me to come to the masjid and repent and correct myself, so what's the point in doing that? So Allah Ta'ala have mercy on this Jamaat people. They have got a very unique approach, how to win people, how to usher them into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, not to make them despondent, especially the senior amongst them. They have got a very, very unique and a very friendly approach. No matter what the person may be, who the person may be, but usher him, admit him into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Bring him in. Anyway, they spoke to him and they say to him, Anta Abuna wa Anta Sayyiduna. Because of his advanced age, they say, you are our father, you are our elder, and you mustn't speak like this. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you definitely. How can you say something like this? They kept on pleading to that old man, and obviously when you plead to someone, then his heart melts. Eventually, the old man's heart melted and he joined them. So, after the program ended, and everybody had the meals and they were resting, so one of the Jamaat members says that, I heard someone crying in one end of the masjid. Anyway, this old man, they brought him, he had a bath, changed his clothes, and then when everybody is off to sleep, then he's crying in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala, my whole life I've spent in sin, I've spent in vice, in drinks, all the wrong that you can think of, Allah Ta'ala, I've done everything. There isn't a wrong that I've spared. And he cried, and he cried, and he cried, asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and by the morning he was gone. So who knows what is the fate of that person? Who knows what is the end of that person? He lived in vice, and he died in virtue. He lived his whole life in vice, and he died in virtue. So that is not in our control. Allah Pak is not subject to our checks and balances. We have a check and balance in this world, and that checks and balance is called a Sharia, that we have to adhere to. We cannot bypass that, we cannot ignore that Sharia. But Allah Ta'ala is not subject to any type of check and balance. He can forgive if he wishes, whatever he wishes, whatever reason he wishes, he can forgive the person, he can pardon the person. You can't question Allah Ta'ala's authority that why was this person forgiven, and why was this person admitted into your mercy. In Bukhari Sharif, there is an incident of a person. He's approaching death and he called up his children. So he asked his children, what type of a father was I? So you were the best father, very very kind, very compassionate, very loving. Says, did I fall short in showing you love, in showing you compassion, in showing you kindness? Said, no, you didn't fall short in doing anything. Said, well, I'm going to instruct you with something. Will you obey me? Said, yes. Why shouldn't we? When you have done so much for us, then why shouldn't we obey you? So then he says to his sons, his children, you see, I've lived my whole life in vice, in sin. You know it, my whole life has been spent in vice. There wasn't any virtue on my credit. On my deeds there was nothing, no virtue at all, nothing on my records. Everything is just filled with vice. So I bequeath you that upon my death, what you must do is you must burn my entire body up, cremate my body completely. Abba, how can we do such a thing? He said, no, this is my instruction, this is my bequest, and I long and I desire that you just conform, you agree with my bequest. The dying person, seeing the father in that state, they couldn't refuse him, they couldn't deny him this privilege. So he said, you must cremate me. And then after that, when you find a very windy day, then you take my ashes, separate them, half let them be flying in the land, and half the ocean. Everything must be scattered. Because if Allah Ta'ala has to arrest me, and Allah Ta'ala has to apprehend me, He will punish me like He never punished anybody. So anyway, the man died, and the children cremated the body like his father had commanded. And thereafter, that ash, they allowed it to fly in the air or in the ocean, they scattered it, complete, finish. One command, Allah Ta'ala instructed all the ashes to come together and reform the body. So it's just one instruction, and the whole thing was reformed. So Allah Ta'ala asks him, what prompted you to do this thing? He says, no, oh Allah Ta'ala, it was just your fear. It was just your fear, on account of your fear, I did this. He said, go, I have forgiven you. He had that, whatever he was doing, the vice that he was doing, the wrong that he was doing, but he had the consciousness that he's going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. He can't escape this. So on account of that consciousness and that fear that he has to stand before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala forgave him. Not that this is something to be emulated and followed, that we also go and cremate our bodies. That was his stupidity, his naivety, his short-sightedness. He didn't have the detailed knowledge of both deen. So in his stupidity, in his naivety, in his weak-sightedness, he asked his children to do this. But the catalyst in what he was doing was right. What had pushed him on that end was right. That was the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the fear of accountability, the fear of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was tremendous in him. So Allah Ta'ala appreciated that this person has got the consciousness that he's got a Rabb. And when he's got a Rabb, then he's accountable for his deeds, small or big, he's going to be accountable. And this is what pushed him on this end. See? One person was a beggar, did begging his entire life. So he's made to lie in his grave, and Malaika had come to interrogate him and ask him, what have you got? What did you bring? So he replied that my whole life I went on begging. And each door I used to knock upon, they used to say, Allah Pak will give you, carry on, Allah Pak will give you barakat. They all told me that, go on and Allah Pak will give you barakat. Now I've come to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is asking me also what I have got. Everybody told me to go to Allah Ta'ala and Allah Pak will give. So now I've come to Allah Ta'ala, and now Allah Pak is also asking me that what have I got. Just on account of that, Allah Ta'ala forgave him. See, this expectation, this hope in Allah Ta'ala must be also very high. Like you have the fear with Allah Ta'ala, then there mustn't be any deficiency in your hope in Allah Ta'ala as well. No matter what you are, try. We try. We don't just leave trying. We try. But our hopes in Allah Ta'ala must never be smashed down. Never be broken down. Even we are in the throes of death, whichever point of our lives. But our hope in Allah Ta'ala must be great. Like our fear also must be great. Then our hope in Allah Ta'ala also must be equally great. It mustn't at any time take a dip. One Pathan, the Tablighi Jamaat, asked him to come and perform namaz. So he said, why must I perform namaz? Yes, Pathan a little bit forthright, very bold, very bold people. So now you will get into Jannat. So for Jannat, must make such a big effort, five times namaz, I must do all this. Norman, what I'll do, I'll just do this, three, four maneuvers, and I'll go to Jannat. Now, he said this and he carried on. Anyway, there was some jihad, whatever jihad it was. So he went and asked ulama, that is this jihad valid? So he said, no, it's a valid jihad. So he had a bath, he put on good clothes, clean new clothes, washed himself, cut off his nails, trimmed his moustache, everything, his unwanted hair, he got all that rid of. Then he went to the masjid and he says, oh Allah Ta'ala, I have never come, I never stepped foot in this masjid, right? And now also I don't have the heart to put my foot here. But oh Allah Ta'ala, whatever I have done in the past, just forgive me for that. And this little effort that I'm doing in your cause, Allah Ta'ala, do accept this. And he cried and he cried, asked for forgiveness. He cried until he felt in his heart that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him. And he went. And he went and smashed down 20 people and he got shaheed. So he lived in vice, but he died as a shaheed. So at any point, it's not for us to become judgmental of anybody that this person is a Jahannami. And that person is like this. Yes, we hope, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala may forgive them. But that doesn't mean that we don't do anything and then we have hopes. That's also wrong. That if you're living in wrong, and suddenly a person has got a Jummah or a Friday or a Ramadan, say, hey, now he cashed in very well. But that's not our point. That's a decision of Allah Ta'ala. Where Allah Pak is taking him, or it will say the signs are good, alhamdulillah. Signs are good that he died on a Friday, he died in Ramadan, the signs are good. But we can't be judgmental about anybody that this person is a pure Jannati, or he's like this and he's like that. That is the work of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will take the decision about that person. Our work is just to remain balanced. And the balance must be the balance of hope and fear. A constant struggle throughout the journey of life. Throughout the journey of life, you must be on the vehicle of hope and fear. At no time should you be only fearing Allah Ta'ala, and at no time should you only be hoping in Allah Ta'ala, but there must be a total balance between the both. Right? When you are ending up your life, then there must be a greater level of hope. In your youth, there must be a greater level of fear. Because if you are very, very hopeful, and you are very anxious only in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala in your youth, then what will stop you from getting into guna? You'll get into a casino, you'll get into a club, you'll get into a drugging addiction, and just say, no, Allah Pak is very great, Allah Pak will forgive me. No, that's not right. That you are taking advantage over the situation, you don't find a person jumping from the 50th floor and say, Allah Pak is very forgiving, so Allah Ta'ala will not allow me to die. I'll take a jump, He'll forgive me and He will not allow me to die. Does anybody take a chance in doing that? He doesn't take a chance. He knows Allah is forgiving, He is merciful, He is very considerate and compassionate. But this is against the design of Allah Ta'ala, it's against the plan of Allah Ta'ala that I go and jump from that height. I mustn't do that. He knows what end it will bring him to. Though Allah Ta'ala is compassionate, He is merciful, He is the most kind and most loving and most caring towards His servant, but that does not give you the license to go and experiment the system of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He will forgive. Who stops him from forgiving? But you don't go and do this. So in your youth, let there be a higher level of fear. Because whilst you are youth, when you are in your youth, you've got free time. You've got wealth and energy, right? You've got free time, you are youth, the energy in you is bubbling, right? And what stops you from vice? From robbing someone, cheating someone, killing someone, murdering someone, looting someone, raping someone, what stops you? So, if that energy is high in you, then the fear must be also high in you. That if I'm going to do this, I'm going to kill someone, I'm going to murder, I'm going to hurt, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to be robbing, I'm going to be raping, I'm going to be doing something. And just for instance, just for example, at that moment, Malakul Maut just takes my life away. It just takes my life around. That time, what will happen to me? Some person had died whilst he was in the act of a vice. In a club, took some drug, and the act of a vice, there was a gay relationship, whatever, but precisely whilst he's in that act, and he died. So we don't want that to happen. So this normally happens when you are in your youth. when you are in your youth and you feel that there is nobody to take a check on me, nobody am I accountable to, and I can do what I want to, and then you go and break every limit, then Allah Ta'ala gives you some tolerance, there is some respite, some chance. But then when you overdo it, He gives you a respite, gives you a chance. But when you overdo it, then that hidden stick of Allah Ta'ala comes. Then in precisely whilst you are committing the wrong, and there that hidden stick comes, and it gets you then. Then you are an embarrassment, you are a disgrace for yourself, disgrace for everybody else. So, the hope of Allah Ta'ala should be there, and the fear of Allah Ta'ala towards it. Whilst you're ending your life, over 55, 60, and you can see that energy levels are all going down, see? Then you don't need to become despondent, you don't need to lose hope, as Allah Pak doesn't want you to do that. لا تهينوا ولا تحزنوا. Don't give up. Don't become overcome with grief and agony. Don't give up. وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَالُونَ. You, as long as you are in iman, you are not betraying the love of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak is there for you. You are betraying His love, you are true to Him, and do whatever you can do, even in that state, but do, carry on. And Allah Pak will be there for you. Allah Ta'ala.